to anything else that follows, anything else that follows, it flows from our worship. Amen. I want to encourage you and congratulate you that our small groups are doing fantastic. Amen. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Keep them going. If you get to your group and you're saying, well, these are all people we started with, wonderful. If they're missing one or two, wonderful. Keep them going. They're called small groups for a reason. But it's the gateway. It's the side door entry. It's that easy way to draw people in. Just keep that vision in mind. Be encouraged. Let's just keep it up. God honors it. God blesses it. Amen. That's my announcements for everything except what God is doing now. God is moving in this place. Brother Tim Marshall, come, and we welcome him and his family in the name of Jesus. Let's make him welcome.
Amen. Would you give the Lord the hand praise this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's our honor to be back in Lakeland. Man, I like what I see, and I love what I feel. Amen. I told Pastor, I said, a couple of years ago when you made the transition, I said, it's not big enough. And I told somebody, I said, don't call me a prophet. I said, prophets get burned at the stake. I like a stake. I just don't want to get burned at a stake. Zechariah chapter 2, and this is not my text, but the Lord just hit me with it a moment ago. The Bible says that a man took a measuring tape and was running and measuring. The angel of the Lord went out and said, stop measuring. He said, the Lord himself will be the wall, right? Isn't that the word of God? You see, what happens is too many times we start measuring of what God wants to do. And that's where our miracle stops. You've got to put the tape measure away. Measurements are good on occasion. But a tape measure is not a lifestyle. We measure, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way that it was, it might start off like that. An edge on this, it doesn't look bad at a couple of inches. But it'd look crazy if it was about that wide. And our problem is we want to start off right here, but after a while it gets so big and gets so large, you're thinking, man, how can that fit the way it's supposed to be? If you'll put away the tape measure, then the miracles will begin. Hallelujah. I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost today. I know what I feel like the Lord wants to do in this building, this house, this. Do I need to put a timer on this morning? I normally put a timer on and I kind of stay within that. But I'm just willing to let the Lord do whatever he wants to do in this house today. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. There was a man, one day a preacher, who had lost his family in a tragic fire, had fallen to the depths of dark and deep depression. He was walking down the city street, and there he came upon a construction crew that was building a new church building. He stopped to watch some work, and as he watched, he observed a worker who was busy carving a triangle out of stone with a chisel and a hammer. Stepping closer, he asked the stonecutter what he was carving. The man looked at him and said, see the steeple of the church up there? He said, see that small opening near the top of the steeple? He said, I'm carving this stone down here so that it'll fit up there. The man was immediately stirred in his heart, and he realized that the faithfulness of God, and he understood that God was chiseling down here so he would make it up there. I've come to tell some people in this house today that God is chiseling some things out of you and off of you so you'll fit in up there. I don't understand why he has to do it the way he... It would be so much easier if he would just put us in a mold like you do Jell-O and pop it in the refrigerator and pull it up and it's done. That would so be nice. But when he has to chisel away, there's discomfort. There's like, God, why in the world is this happening? But again, I want to preach to you from the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. And again, it is our honor to be here with the pastor and Sister McGuire. Thank you so much. We always enjoy being here. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was a very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. First of all, there were very many. Everybody say very many. And they were very dry. Say very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest. I want to preach to you for just a few moments on the subject, the joy of the valley. The joy of the valley. Would you put your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven, and let's talk to God. God, we thank you for your hand upon us. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power of your Spirit that we feel so strongly in this house. Lord, let there be a mighty move of your Spirit. Let there be signs, wonders, miracles. Let there be a demonstration of the Holy Ghost in this house. Let the prophetic, Lord, go forth in this place today, God. We need you. God, I ask you to forgive me of my thoughts, my actions, my words, Lord, that are not pleasing. That way we can be a conduit. Forgive every person in this building. Come on, would you do it right now? Lift your voice to heaven. Say, God, forgive me of everything today, Lord. I want to be a conduit of the Holy Ghost. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We thank you for it. Everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The hand of the Lord picked Ezekiel up and dropped him in the middle of a valley of dry bones. It's an odd thing when God picks you up and puts you in the valley. I think it's quite interesting because sometimes we find ourselves in the valley. We jump in the valley. There's other times we slide into the valley. There's other times we're pushed into the valley, and sometimes we're kicked into the valley. I think we relate more to the kicked in the valley than anything else, because it does being kicked anyway. Brother Tenney one time said, he said, I've been shot at many times, and sometimes it was by the enemy. It's an odd thing when God picks you up and puts you in the valley. He usually takes you out of the valley. But there is something that I have found out in this scripture that is very strategic for a reason. If we're in the valley, sometimes we're victims of our own circumstances. We do something, we act something, we make dumb decisions. We make bad choices. We do crazy things. Maybe y'all don't. I have, and I do, and I will continue to do, I'm sure. It's not something that I automatically do, and I said, hey, let's just make a dumb decision today. But I just accidentally do those things. But it's very strategic what God was doing. Here's what I believe, and here's what I feel. Ezekiel was placed into this valley. We have to, first of all, figure out why I'm in this valley. Am I here because of myself? Or am I here because somebody pushed me? Or am I here because of God? If you're there because yourself, you can climb your way out. You can dig your way out. If somebody pushed you, the same thing. You can get your way out of the valley. But when God places you in the valley, there is a reason that God places you in the valley. And this is what I feel firmly has happened with Ezekiel. The Lord placed him in the valley of bones because he said, when I place you there, I'm going to show you things and I'm going to reveal things that you've never seen in your life. Come on, help me just a little bit. I believe that when God has placed us in those moments, he said, I'm going to reveal myself to you more than you have ever seen me before. I don't know about you, but I have been placed in those times where God said, I'm going to reveal something that you have never seen and others have never seen. And Ezekiel said, these bones, this valley, they were very many. They were very dry. And God, he's looking, can these bones live? And Ezekiel has this idea. And first of all, he could have said, well, I don't know, maybe it's up to you. But I think the way he put it, he said, God, if it's going to be, it's not up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to you. I've come to tell somebody there is joy of the valley. Hallelujah. When you realize that God has placed you in there, he's going to reveal himself. You're going to see miracles like you have never seen before. You're going to see a power of God that you have never seen before. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that God is moving among his people. I love what I see, that people are coming in, that God fills people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I realize, God, it is not up to me. It is all up to you. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. God placed him in that place for a reason. It was strategic, to show him the devastation, to show him the dry bones. These men had been the strength of Israel. They're strong, warring, fighting men. And Ezekiel had no doubt watched them die. But now, as an older man, the Lord takes him back to where there's no bodies. There's just bleaching bones. And in the valley, he looked at the bones and remembered all the pain, the heartache, and the people were carried into captivity because, and I don't know if you remember me preaching this when I was here before, but if you don't, please just don't even bat an eye. But I think that what happens is sometimes we get to this place where we say, God, I don't understand these bones, and I don't understand why. And maybe it was a little bit of a challenge for him. Maybe he remembered all of the promises. They were carried away into captivity. I preached last time I was here, if I remember correctly, it's a settled covenant. You remember, maybe a few of you did. It's a settled covenant with God. Hallelujah. Somebody remembered something. But you see, the settled covenant was, he said, you're going to go into captivity. And let me recap, okay? This is school again. He said, you're going to go into captivity, but you're not going to stay there. I've come to tell somebody in this place today that you're in the valley, but you're not going to stay there. You've gone through a problem, but you're not going to stay there. You've gone through situations that were not of your making, but you're not going to stay there. Somebody hear me today, that there is joy in the valley. In the valley, he restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Hallelujah. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. In other words, he said, I want you to just sit down, chillax for a little while. Everything is going to be all right. I've come in the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, everything is going to be all right. That you're in the middle of the valley, but God knows exactly where you're at. Hallelujah. God asked this challenging question, can the bones live? One of the most powerful and challenging questions of the Bible, can there be a recovery? The Lord is good about asking questions. Will thou be made whole? Believest that I am able? Where's your husband? What does it profit a man if? They're powerful questions, and when God asks them, they are much more powerful than even man's thought, because his questions probe the intent of the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But whenever a man asks, they a lot of times will answer according to what you want to hear. Let's just be honest here. Well, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing great. No, you're not. You got all these problems going on. You got bills you can't pay. You got problems in your body. You're having problems. How's everything going? Oh, we're great. But when God answers, there's nothing that can come out of us except what we reveal. Well, it's not what we reveal, because he knows everything. So when God asks a question, he's probing the intent of the heart. In other words, Ezekiel, these bones, do you really think they can live? And Ezekiel had this incredible response. He said, God, you really know if they can live or not, because you're all powerful. powerful. You're all knowing. You're all wise. And you hold everything in the palm of your hand. Ladies and gentlemen, he has not dropped you. He has not left you. You are not by yourself. He has not slipped off the throne and knocked his head somewhere. He knows who you're at. And he said, I want to know. Do you know? Do you think these bones can live again? There needs to be a resounding yes in our spirit. Yes, these bones can live. Yes, this problem is not going to keep me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Oh, somebody help me in this house today. Whatever you're going through, yes, there needs to be a yes inside your spirit that said these bones. Yes, the bones will live. It may not look like a whole lot right now, but these bones can live. They were bleached by the sun. And come on, somebody, hear me. He wanted to know from Ezekiel if he could reach inside himself and find the faith to believe that all of the loss he had seen and experienced, God could recover. I've come to ask some people in this place today, out of all the loss you've seen and all the things that you've gone through, is there a God still in heaven that can help you recover and restore? I'm telling you, this is not the end of you. This is not the end of your life. I'm trying to preach some hope to somebody. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, there's hope for your life. Yes, your bones can live again. Yes, you got a problem going on. There is a God who knows who you are, and he sees you. As powerful as the question is, Ezekiel couldn't answer. It was beyond him. He said, thou knowest. But you and I, we have an advantage that Ezekiel didn't have. I have the New Testament. I have the Word of God that signifies, that tells me what is possible. You see, do y'all listen to the radio? It just so happens I drive about 50,000 miles a year. When I fly, I've got a lot of miles flying. So I stay busy. I'm tired. This old boy's tired. My bones are wore out, okay? They're not bleached. They're wore out. I love my life. If you come up and tell me after church, man, you got the life of Riley, I will throat punch you. I'm kidding. Where was I even going? Sister Marshall, where was I at? I have to look back at her. I drive a lot of miles, but where was I going before I said that? This radio, thank you. See, if I step away from that, and these little rabbits, I chase them everywhere. I'm kidding. But I thank you for telling me where I was at. Radio, I was listening to the radio. And we drive a lot of miles, and we listen to our particular news station, and what did the fox say? That kind of gives you an idea. And some of you catch it in a moment. But every once in a while, they'll come on there and they'll talk about investment opportunities. And at the very end, they are talking so fast. These will not be yours. And you're going, would you stop it? What are you saying? What they're saying is that these results are not typical. The money you invest is not typical. You might lose everything you've got. But then again, you might gain something. Y'all following me? It's a disclaimer. Just so in case you lose that $100,000 or $5 or whatever, in case you lose that money, it's telling you, please don't get upset at us. You're taking that at your own risk. Well, Ezekiel did not have a disclaimer there. He didn't have all these things to point back to that everything was, that the bones could live again. But what we have is we have the Word of God that we can say, God, if you made those bones live again, then we know that this can live again. God, we know that if you took money out of the fish's mouth, We know that you can do it again. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody in this place today. God, we know that if you could tell the little widow woman that just pour the oil. We know that if the man of God says that, we've seen it before. It's not a disclaimer. God does not need a disclaimer in this house today. What you have is you have the evidence that it is already possible. All things are possible to them. Somebody help me in this house today. God, I'm going to find joy in the valley. It may not look like everything is going okay, but I'm still going to shout in the middle of the valley. When everything around me is going wacky and everything, it seems like my world has fallen off its axis. I don't have a disclaimer from God. God will not give a disclaimer because he says, I'm all powerful, I'm all knowing, and I know where you're at. Come on, clap your hands again to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know what happened. A miracle is getting ready to take place. The breath was coming. The wind was coming. The bones would come alive. We've heard this story many times. But I want to pose it to you in a different way today. You see, the first thing that happened is the answer clears up in my spirit. And I want to put something into the story. And I want everybody to understand there has to be a yes somewhere inside your life. That this thing of the world has enough negativity. Hello. I'm just going to be honest, and I'm going to leave politics out of it. But I get tired of listening to the station and them just talking about all this and all that. I don't care who's in the White House, or I don't care who's in the outhouse, the guardhouse or whatever. I don't care who's there. I'm telling you what, I'm glad he's on the throne. And I'm hello. Come on. There's enough negativity going around. There's got to be a yes in our spirit. There's got to be somewhere deep down inside that yes has got to come out. Yes, I know that God is still in control. Yes, come on. Yes, I know God is in control. I know the bones can live. I know they can come back alive again. Yes, I know I've had problems in my marriage, but I know that God is able to turn it around. Somebody needs to believe that this morning. Yes, I know what the doctor said, but I'm not worried about what the doctor says. I'm worried about what God says. I'm speaking prophetically to some people today that God is in control of all of it. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the medical profession says. When God said, I'm going to turn it around, then you take God at his word and say, I will trust and believe because I'm going to find my joy in the middle of the valley. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can always bring something back no matter what we seem to have lost. It may seem unrecoverable. It may seem hopeless. It may seem desperate. There has got to be a yes in the spirit of every person in this place. There needs to be yes in the bone marrow that goes out through. Listen, let me help you a little bit. I love missions. I love evangelizing. I love doing exactly what I'm doing. This didn't work to me. This is the calling that God has placed upon our life. But inside of me, the DNA of my life says, I want to see people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the first and foremost thing. If I get to go overseas again, that's fine. I want to see it. But let me tell you, there's nothing more that I'd rather see than God turn somebody's life around that was a drug addict, that was an alcoholic, that was a prostitute. Oh, somebody. And such were some of you, but now we're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. Come on, does that mean I'm perfect? Nope. It just means that I have an opportunity, that there is hope in my life. Put it away. Got to put away the tape measure. Well, God, how are you going to do this? I don't know how he does it. I don't understand it. There's two things in life I know besides death and taxes. I know that there is a God, and y'all are thankful that it's not me. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody in this house today. We have got to understand in the marrow of our bones, in the very part of it needs to flow through our DNA that I know that God is able. There is no question in my mind if he is able. It's just if he chooses to or when he does it. I know that he's able. My wife and I are going through a transition in our lives, and the Lord is taking us into not a new area, but he's taking us. It's very interesting. I'm pretty adaptable, pretty much, as long as things go my way. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're the same way. Everybody needs to be at the altar right now. I'm adaptable, as long as it's my way. Oh, that's so funny. Yes, oh God, I'm adaptable, but I really want it my way. On the way here, I'm thinking, I haven't eaten any breakfast. I go to, we're coming down from Apopka, and I pull off there at the, 195 or 95 or whatever it is down there. And what is it? 192, yes. I pull down there, so I'll just run through McDonald's, and I'll grab me a little breakfast something, and I'll run through there, and I'll get back. I got down there, and it was amazing. People everywhere. Y'all go home. It's too early in the morning, or get to church or something. So we're in this middle of this transition, and I'm just being very honest, and please don't judge me and don't be angry or anything like that, but we stay on the road 365 days, well, 364. We go home for Christmas. We have stayed on the road on Christmas. We've eaten, not pity story, but we've eaten meal at, Boston Market for Christmas one day, one Christmas. We didn't even get to go home. We were in the middle of a revival, and so we just stayed going. I don't have a problem with it too many times. The family was not happy with me. My wife was okay, but it was the other family didn't, you know, the in-laws. And so people would ask me, they said, Brother Marshall, where are you based out of? I don't know. I'm licensed in Mississippi, and this is my pastor in Mississippi, Brother Carney, and I don't know. I don't know. I literally said last Sunday, somebody asked me, they said, where are you from? Or where are you basing out of? I said, well, that's my church, that's my pastor, and this is my district, and I don't know. I'm a nomad. I'm just a nomad for Jesus. Not mad, nomad, you know. And that was on Sunday night. On Monday night, we drove to Houston, and from Louisiana, we were going to fly out. And my wife and I, the church that was we're friends with, were there. And I'm not going to go into all the detail, but we said, let's go to church. And so we went to church, and the evangelist steps up. I've met him one or two times. He doesn't know anything about me, and he has them bring out two chairs sitting right in the front. And he says, how many believe that God can do a lot of things in a few moments? Everybody, yeah. How many believe God can do a few things in just a few moments? And everybody goes, yeah. He said, how many believe that God can do one thing? Everybody got real quiet. He said, I figured that that's the way it would go. But he said, God has orchestrated this service for two people. Brother and Sister Marshall, would you come and sit on these chairs? He gets down there and he says, Brother Marshall, I won't go into detail, but he says, Brother Marshall, you are not a nomad. I'm crying and slobbering and snotting. I'm sorry. And snotting and all that kind of stuff. I'm crying. He begins to minister. He begins to talk to us. He starts talking about healing. He starts talking about the move of God. He starts talking about the things. He said, the world is, and he starts ministering to me. Hey, I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be everything on top. No, at moments we go through the valley. Please don't think unkindly of me. I'm a human just like everybody else. But on occasion, you go through this, but you still have to keep carrying on. There's never been a moment that I did not trust God. There's not. Never. I was diagnosed with colon cancer. Had no problem. I know God's in control. The doctors diagnosed my wife with breast cancer. God is in control. I have no problem. Listen, I'm not trying to throw a challenge out to the enemy. Don't listen. Now's not a good time to mess with Tim Marshall. I'm feeling pretty good. But I'm telling somebody in this house today that in the middle of your trial, God knows exactly who you are. He knows where you're at. There just has to be something. from the abundance of the mouth of the heart, the mouth will speak. There's got to be a yes in your spirit. There's got to be a yes in your heart that said, yes, I know. Oh, somebody, I'm preaching to some people in this house today. Come on, if your life has been going crazy, there needs to be a yes in your mouth. There needs to be a yes that comes across your lips that says, I want hope in my life. There's too many people taking their own lives. There's too many people turning to drugs and alcohol. All of these things. Why? There is a hopelessness in America today that needs to hear the message that I'm preaching. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope. Come on. There's joy of the valley, but you've got to find something inside of your spirit that says, I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding in all of my ways. I'm going to acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. That's the Word of God. Come on, I feel strongly in the Holy Ghost that God is fixing to deliver some people today. If you want the Holy Ghost, God is going to fill you with the baptism of His Spirit. It is so easy. I need some prayer warriors to start praying because God wants to do something in this house. There is a... All of a sudden, Ezekiel said, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. And the Lord says to him, I want you to prophesy to the wind. And so Ezekiel stands up, and y'all pardon this little illustration, but I see Mickey Mouse, okay? Pardon me. I know y'all live in Florida. Y'all live near Disney. Not really a great thing to y'all. But I see the Sorcerer's Apprentice, the way that Mickey stands up and goes, oh, don't get upset. I'm not saying it's a sorcerer. Please, don't misunderstand me. I see the actions of Ezekiel. He might have gone. That's what I used to think. But I think that all he said, please, y'all, chill, relax, man. I hit a brick wall there, so let me rephrase that. I see this man standing up as a conductor of an orchestra. Thank you. Is that better? And he stands up. All of a sudden, I used to think he'd go, I think Ezekiel says, wind, I prophesy to you. And all of a sudden, the wind blows. He said, I want you to prophesy to the bones. First of all, prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the wind. All of a sudden, the wind starts blowing. Watch this. It is a whole lot different now with us than it was with Ezekiel. Because what happened, the wind that blew for Ezekiel is the same one that blew in Acts. Watch this. There, it just had the word of the prophetic. Bones, you're going to live again. Wind, I want you to start blowing. But now, not only does it have the wind of the Spirit, not only does it have the prophetic, but it has the Holy Ghost anointing up on it. And so we have got a triple whammy, if you will, that we can say by the power of the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God. And all of, Pastor, am I making sense? That all of a sudden, not only is it just a wind and the prophetic, but all of a sudden it has the Book of Acts testimony with it, that I have the power of the Holy Ghost. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want somebody to hear me today. There's got to be a yes inside of your spirit. From, come on. The power of life and death are in the tongue. There needs to be some life in your tongue right now. There needs to be some life that happens in your spirit.
I believe it's fixing to happen in just a few moments. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God wants to fill you with His Spirit.
Come on, prayer warriors. Come on, I need somebody to help me pray it for just a few moments. God is fixing to do something incredible in this house, but it needs a few people connecting up with the faith that you feel in this house and the words that are going forth from heaven. I'm telling you, it's not about me. It's about God moving in this house. We were just in the Philippines back in November, and God filled over 400 people in one service with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. During the Sunday morning, there were people all over the city receiving the baptism of, we don't even know how many got the Holy Ghost that morning. We were in Brazil in July, and God filled people with the Holy Ghost in Brazil. I was in New Zealand, and God filled people with the Holy Ghost in New Zealand. Don't tell me He's moving overseas and not moving in the United States of America. I'm telling you, I saw people last Sunday. God touched their lives. I'm telling you, God's going to touch your life, but there's got to be a yes inside of your spirit.
I read in the newspaper, I read these things online of people taking their lives. And I told a friend of mine, I said, you have got to be pretty hopeless if you do that. There has got to be a place of hopelessness that you feel like you cannot return from, that you cannot give out. Please let me, I don't know why I keep going back to this today. I'm preaching to somebody. You do not have to go to that place of hopelessness. I'm telling you, I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to take your own life. You don't have to step away and say, there's no hope for me, there's no help for me. You have to learn how to say yes to the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody hear me today. There is hope in Jesus today. There's hope for you no matter what your problem. Your financial situation is not lost. Your problems are not all a foregone conclusion. All you've got to do is say yes to God. I'm pulling for some people in this house today. I'm pulling for somebody in this house today. You have got to say yes to God and get rid of everything else. Don't worry about anything else. Say, yes, God, I'm going to turn this over to you. I'm going to find joy. How do you find joy in the valley? It's very easy. My dad used to tell me, we're from Texas, okay? My dad used to tell me, he said, son, I'd call him and I'd say, Dad, I'm a married man, okay? I wasn't married. It's been a few years ago, but I said, I'm crying, Dad. This is going wrong, and this is going wrong. He said, where are you at right now? He said, are you standing or sitting? I said, I'm standing up. He said, okay, bend over. Yes, sir. I said, He said, are you bending over? Yes, sir. He said, reach down and get yourself by your bootstraps and pull yourself up. Y'all heard that before? I felt foolish. Dad, I thought you were going to tell me something really wise. That was pretty wise right there. Because sometimes you just got to reach over and pull yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up. But let me tell you what happens when you put God into that equation. When you put God into that equation, all of a sudden, He wraps His arms around you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you even until the end. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, there's something happening in the Spirit right now. You need to connect yourself into it and say, God, I'm going to say yes today. Today is the day for me to say yes to you. Whatever you're trying to do in my life, I'm not going to fight against it. I'm not going to fuss against it. I'm not going to turn against it. And I'm not going to allow it to turn me. I'm going to allow it to get me, for me to get better instead of bitter. And so I'm going to say, God, I'm going to prophesy to these bones. I'm going to prophesy to my situation. You will not destroy me. All right. All right. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, you don't need, it's like American Express. You don't need to leave this church without it. Hello? You don't need to leave this building without the Holy Ghost. It is so simple. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, you shall receive power. Brother Marshall, how do you get over these things? First of all, you got to have the power. I was trying to hook up my RV yesterday. And I was not raised on a farm, pulling stuff and backing trailers. It's just, I do it because that's what I got to do. I have to do, excuse me. And, man, I pulled into the driveway, and I backed it right in there. First time, it was like, yeah. Man, I backed that thing up like a champ. I got out, and I opened the slide out, and it took the bushes and moved them over about 8 inches. I said, nah, that ain't going to work. So for the next hour, literally hour, I tried to back that thing in. I was too far this way, and I was over the septic. Or this too, and I was into the bushes. I kept telling my wife, babe, just stand out there. I bought those little orange things that you push, and they blink and flicker and all that kind of stuff for emergencies. I said, babe, don't let me hit the pole back there. Just hold it up. Don't let me hit the pole. So after about, I'd back up, and I think, okay, I got it. I'd get out, and it was cattywampus. And I'm going, oh, that would drive me crazy. So for an hour, I did that. Y'all pray for my wife. For an hour. Finally, I got out there, and it was lined up nice. I went to push the, what I was trying to say originally, when I pushed that slide out, I didn't have it plugged in. And I pushed the button, and there was not enough battery to pull the slide out back in. Get out the cord. I had to plug it in. I had to climb over the bushes that I had gotten in the way. There's a reason for that. I had to climb over the bushes, and it's at night, and I'm thinking there's snakes down in there. Hello? Snakes and I don't get along unless they're on a broom handle somewhere, a hoe. I'm a snake handler, a dead snake. That's about as far as I go. So I finally climbed over it, and I walk around, and I'm aggravated myself because I knew better. I plugged it in, and I went and pushed the button, and that slide out goes, pulls right back in there. I had to have power to be able to move it. Brother Marshall, how come I can't get over this? How come I can't get my life turned around? You have got to have power. It's not a plug in the wall. It's heaven power. I know it sounds corny, but it's truth. He said, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You want the power to come out of the life that you've been living? I've heard people, I can't give up drugs. I can't give up alcohol. I can't give up this. I can't give up that. It's because you don't have the power. You're probably looking at some people that are sitting around you today that used to be alcoholics. There's people around you that used to be drug addicts. There's people that around you that probably were addicted to a lot of things. But when the Holy Ghost came in, their valley turned around. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Yeah. Lord, you know. He said that I want you to prophesy. There's fixing to be the prophetic that goes forth from every person in this place. You're going to prophesy to some things in your life. If you need the Holy Ghost, I invite you in just a few moments to say yes in your spirit. Say yes in your mouth. You've got to let that come. A leading neurologist wrote an article some time ago, and he said that the tongue is connected to the major neurological part of your brain that controls everything about your body. This is a smart guy that said that. I'm thinking, well, several thousand years ago, there was a man by the name of James that talked about the tongue. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's not some word that you're taught in a classroom somewhere. You're not even taught the words on a Sunday in Sunday school class. What happens is all of a sudden when you start saying, God, I'm sorry for my sins. God, I'm sorry for everything that I've ever done wrong. We sin one of three ways. We either sin by what we say, we sin by what we think, and we sin by what we do. So in a few moments, we're going to repent of everything that we have ever said simply by saying, God, I'm asking you to forgive me of what I've said. I'm asking you to forgive me of what I've thought, and I'm asking you to forgive me of what I've done. I'm telling you the prophetic is going to go forth out of every person in this building today if you will allow the Holy Ghost. But all of a sudden, he said, these are not drunk as you suppose. Seeing it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I'm telling you, it's being poured out all around the world right this moment, all around the United States of America. Come on, overseas. I got messages this morning. There were people receiving the Holy Ghost in the Philippines. If it's being poured out over there, it's being poured out over here. I'm telling you, there is a joy of the valley. I've never been in jail. The Lord has kept me from that. Some people, the Lord saved you from that. The Lord saved me from that. He saved you out of that, and he saved me from that. And I'm very, very thankful. But the only thing I can think of is that whenever somebody gets out of jail, when that cop takes those handcuffs off and they say, you're free to go. I don't know what I would do. Well, yeah, I do know what I would do, but I've never done it. If that ever happened, I'd be going, I guarantee I wouldn't go, cool beans. Hey, come on. I'd be giving everybody around me a high five and say, come on, come on, come on. Are you following me at all? Am I making any sense this morning? There's joy of the valley, but you got to do something about that. It was Dottie Rambo that sang that song, or that wrote the song, In the Valley He Restoreth My Soul. When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. There needs to be a yes out of every mouth in this place today. The leading neurologist, he said it controls it controls everything about your life. If you can, this is what he said. He said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your life. That's a pretty smart guy that would say that. That's why we say when we receive the Holy Ghost, it's not the shaking, brother. It's not just shaking the hand. I know he's praying, but it's not just shaking a preacher's hand. It's not just shaking the hand of the preacher. It's not signing a card. Hello? That's awfully nice of you. But let me tell you what it means. It means that, God, I repent of my sins. And then all of a sudden I begin saying hallelujah. That's the highest praise to God. You can't say anything else that would get the attention of God except for hallelujah. Like hallelujah would. You start saying hallelujah, hallelujah. Whew, man, I feel something even happening right now. You start saying hallelujah, hallelujah. And all of a sudden the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You start saying hallelujah, and the same action for your tongue. All of a sudden it's going to turn from hallelujah. It's going to turn into another language that you were not taught at home, that you were not taught at school somewhere. It's going to be the baptism of the Holy Ghost that falls upon you. Would you stand with me, everybody in this building this morning? Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your voice. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. If you do not have the Holy Ghost and you want God to fill you with His Spirit, would you come? If you're willing to say yes to God, if you're willing to say yes, would you come quickly? Come on, there's going to be miracles across this building. Come on, would you come join us? I need a couple of ministers. A couple of ministers, come up here. Come on, if you're willing to say yes, if you're willing to say yes to God today, would you come quickly? Hallelujah. Come on, come on. I need some people that'll say yes to God. Come on, in Jesus' name. If you want God to fill you with